Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, get your Bibles out and go with me to Romans, the 11th chapter. In fact, if you find Romans chapter 12, just back up a couple verses. We're going to be in Romans, the 11th chapter. A couple years ago, Pastor Deborah came back from a trip to Israel and preached a brilliant message about how the church really should be praying for and how we are to encourage Jewish believers. Recently, Pastor Luke and Stacy came back from Israel as well, and Pastor Luke preached a brilliant message as well out of these section of verses about the grafting of the olive branches. I mean, just wonderful imagery from the Word of God, and I would encourage you to go onto our message archives and take a look at those verses and just get a hold of that, because that is a powerful understanding, and these are some difficult verses. Now, in these verses, Romans the 11th chapter, there's this kind of section at the end that I want to focus in on tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject called the God conclusion. The God conclusion. Romans the 11th chapter starts out the Apostle Paul talking about the Jewish nation. He starts talking about grafting. He starts talking about the Gentiles and how we are grafted in. These are huge concepts. These are things that if you just gave them a quick read, you actually could kind of come to some conclusions that may not be where God is really speaking. You might get a little confused along the way, but finally you would realize some things through other scriptures and what the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and your life. Now, at the end of all those verses about the nation of Israel and about the Gentile church and the times that we're living in, the apostle brings them to a conclusion. And I believe that the conclusion that he brings is the God conclusion. And for each and every one of us, we in our own lives have to come to this same conclusion. Romans 11 chapter, starting in verse number 33, reading through verse number 36, says this. Chapter 11, verse 33 starts out. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Listen to the language here. He's just got done talking about something that could hurt your brain if you thought about it a lot, right? And all of a sudden he stops and he has to just get his praise on. He has to stop and he has to say, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." He goes on to say this. And he says, "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." He says in some translations, they're untraceable. You know, the Bible says that the way of the Lord is in the deep. It's like walking through water. You cannot find the footsteps after a while. You can't trace them back to where they were. You cannot track them to figure everything out. You know, the Bible also tells us that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That in these finite minds, in these natural fleshly earth suits and in the limitations that we have on our life, that we cannot understand the fullness of everything that God has done from the beginning. Yet God has still placed eternity in our hearts. Verse number 34 comes along and says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor?" That's a pretty good question, don't you think? When did God ever say, "Hey, you know what? I don't really know what I want to do. Let me go find out what so-and-so has to say." You know, I was thinking about biology and the systems that I'm about ready to put into play here on the earth, and I think I need to get some insight from somebody who studied this more than I have. See, God is the one who created everything. God is the Almighty. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He has the omnipresence, right? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at once. He's in all. He's through all. He knows all. And he's all powerful. And therefore, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has offered him any counsel? The next verse comes along and says this, "Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him?" Did anybody ever lend God something God said, "I owe you"? No, why? Because God's the one that gave it to you in the first place. King David, when he brought an extravagant offering, an offering that was just like mind-blowing, that we all would have said, "Wow, he really gave a lot to God." What did he say to God? He said, "God, of your own, we've given you back. It was all yours anyway. It all started with you. We collected it here on the earth, and now we're just giving you back what you already gave to us." So you cannot outgive God. And you can't come up with something that didn't originate with God to give to God that God should have to repay you. goes on in verse number 36, and this is where I want to get to tonight. This is the God conclusion. After he goes through this whole discourse, after all this mind-numbing stuff about the plan of God of the age, about the church, and about how the Jews are outside for a moment so that the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles can come in, and that there's jealousy and all this kind of stuff that's going to be going on to bring them back into the kingdom. He can graft them back in. After all this stuff that's kind of hard to figure out, this is the conclusion that he comes to. After he says his ways are past finding out, God is all wise. No one's offered him counsel. He's done this from the beginning, eternity. He had this plan in mind. This is the conclusion. He says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. You ever opened up an email that just blew your mind? You just thought, that's ridiculous. It's changed your life. You ever flipped on the TV in the morning and heard the news and it just ruined your entire week? You ever seen something or heard something from somebody and it just so impacted you that you felt sick to your stomach? See, in all of our lives, I think we've encountered things that have troubled us. We've seen things on the earth that we've said that shouldn't be. We've been troubled by things on the planet. We've seen injustice. I remember watching the news with the refugees, and there was a little 5-year-old boy sitting on a seat wiping blood from his head, and it wrecked me. It's still to this day, that image pops into my mind, and I can't help but be grieved. There's images, there's things. I remember one time I was out in the middle of a field in the middle of Illinois. I was on a training camp. We were in the middle of a cornfield training to go overseas for missions. And there was one of our team members that was battling bulimia and anorexia. And I remember when they told our team she's battling this and she's struggling with this and she's going to go home so that she can work on this. She's not healthy enough to go with us on the team overseas. She's going to go and get under care of her pastors and her family and of a physician. I remember being sick to my stomach. Remember, I had to take a walk that day, a long walk. And I had to deal with God and say, God, what's going on? This girl loves you. God, what's happening? Why is she struggling this way? God, why can't she go with us? I mean, this would have been amazing. She has a heart for people, and yet why does she have to struggle? Why don't you just deliver her, God? There's things in our lives that are going to impact us. Things in our life that are going to be hard to figure out. Things in our life that we're not really going to understand. But if we can take 6 little words that are 1 syllable each and apply them to our life and to our understanding, it will change the world that we live in. You want to know what those 6 little words are?
Yeah.
Of him, to him, through him. That's it. 6 little words that will change your life. Really, this is a summation of the difficult times in our lives. The hard to understand passages we go through in life can be traced here as well. See, we may not be able to trace what God is doing. We may not be able to figure out his ways. But if we can remember of him, through him, and to him, it will change the very world that we live in. Is anybody listening tonight? Let's start with the first 2. Of him. Of him. See, God is the source of all things. We already talked about he is the creator. He is the almighty. He was the ultimate planner. God had eternity past to plan out everything that would happen in time here on the earth. That means that God is the one, the Bible tells us, that can declare the end from the beginning. Why? Because it was already in his heart. He already saw it. He already knew that it was going to take place. And many times we say, well, why, if God knew everything that was going to happen, did he allow it? Why would God allow evil? Why would God allow suffering? Why would God allow pain? But we have to remember that there was a plan of God from eternity past, that it started with God. And that God, who declares the end from the beginning, is the one who planned all of this. God is the originator. God is the creator. God is the author. He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. Therefore, if we can look to God and we can say, this is of God, my life, my very being began with God. Did you know that God formed you in your mother's womb? Literally, the Bible says that he knit you. He took all of your bones and the sinews and the muscles and the tissues and the flesh and everything, the hair. He fashioned you. It's a very intimate process. Much like when he created Adam and Eve, you know, he didn't just speak a word. I believe that God lay down, started to trace in the ground, started to form and to fashion. As he put Adam to sleep, he drew from his side the woman, and he formed the woman. And these weren't just good. These were very good. See, God is good. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." See, when you start to look to God, when you start to see that God is the author, when you start to see God as creator, when you start to see that God had plans for this day, for this hour, when you recognize and you realize that even in adversity, that God knew you were going to be at this place at this time, when you start to take a look at that and you realize that God is your source, it starts to make everything come together. Remember the very first words in the Bible? Can anybody quote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 with me? In the beginning, God. Right? We could stop right there. Because if you get your perspective on the problem, if you get your perspective on the source of pain rather than the source of life, then you're going to have the wrong perspective. You're going to focus on that pain. You're going to focus on that problem. You're going to focus on that trial. And yet God doesn't want you focused on pain, problems, and trials. God wants you to focus on, in the beginning, God. The very first place we should go to is God. The very author, the very beginning, the Alpha. He is the one who is the highest. He is the one who is the greatest. He's the one that we should run to. He's the one. He should be our source. He is our all in all. He is God. Change your life. Change your life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Turn there with me. You're there in Romans. Turn back past Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You'll find Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16 and verse number 17 says this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." See, guys, this life is not about politics or money or wealth or fame or entertainment or education. This life is about Jesus. Because why? In the beginning, God. He's first. He's the priority. He is number one. And therefore, when we get that perspective and we realize in him and by him were all things created, visible or invisible. See, we got to get this perspective past the natural and past the now. There are things beyond our sight that we need to recognize that God is in and that he's in control of. Why? Because it started with him. And if he's the creator of it, then he is greater than it. Let me say that again. If God is the creator of it, then he is greater than it. Look at Colossians 1, verse 16 again. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth." Where do we live here and now? Earth, right? So all things that are on earth were created by him. Somehow we get the picture that God is not in control here on the earth. Yes, heaven, everything is great in heaven, and Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So God, apparently you're in control in heaven, but you're not in control here on the earth. And we get the wrong picture. Why? Because we got to remember, in the beginning, God. All things that are on earth, look at visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions. Had recently a lot of people that were all worried about who was going to get elected into the highest office in our land. Can I tell you something? I don't care who is in office. I don't care what party's in power. There were people rejoicing in the streets over somebody that just died in another nation that was in power for a long time. Guess what, you guys? The gospel has never been chained. Jesus has never been stopped. Jesus never was biting his teeth, taking a Prozac because somebody got into office or because there was a dictator in a country. Jesus is in control. All things were created by him. Those thrones, he's the one that set them up. And if he wants to take them down, he most certainly can. It's all in his power to do so. Why? Because it's created by him. But God didn't only start the process. He's not only the source, but he's also the one who carries it through. The next two little words that can change your life is this: through him. Through him. See, not only is God the source, but he is also the sustainer. He is also the stimulus. He is also the supplier. See, sometimes we look at our life and we say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Here's how you can make it: through him. That's right. Pastor, I don't know if I can take it. Here's how you're going to take it: through him. I don't know if I have the strength. Here's how you're going to get the strength: through him. I don't have the resources I need. I need more cash. I need more money. I need more time. I need more friends. I need more. I don't have what I need. Here's how you're going to get what you need: through him. See, when you live your life through him, again, it changes the world that you live in. Because if you're living through your own effort and your own strength, you only go as far as you're able. If you're living through your own resource, when your resource runs out, that's where you stop. But when you're living in the resource of an unlimited God, there is no limitations on your life. There is only the power of God that's available to you. But you got to live through him. See, if you don't have the wisdom and the knowledge base that you need to continue to do what you need to do in life, I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a wife. I don't know how to be a parent. I don't know how to live for Jesus out there. I don't know how to be a witness. I don't know how to be a boss. I don't know how to be an employee. I don't know how to be retired. This is new to me. I don't know how to be a grandparent. Oh my goodness, I don't know any of this stuff. Here's how you're going to know. You have the unlimited wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. He said, but Pastor, okay, I get that. I understand that, but how do I get a hold of that? See, if you get your eyes off Jesus, you'll tend to falter. And you'll look to the wrong things for your sustenance. In other words, we'll start looking to Barnes and Noble to find out how to parent our children. Let me go and see what the experts have to say. Let me go find Dr. Phil's latest booger. Let me watch Oprah and see what she has to say. Listen, they're wonderful. They may have some great suggestions, but they are not Jesus. They are not your sustainer. They are not the ones who have the words of life. See, if we're to receive anything, it's got to be through him. Not through the world, not through wealth, not through the natural, not through the now. No, it has to be through the eternal power of the living God. Your salvation cannot be of yourself. It has to be through him. Come on, somebody say it with me. It has to be through him. Your provision cannot be of yourself. It can't be of your boss. It cannot be of your job. It cannot be of the government of the United States of America. It has to be through him. Your healing cannot be just based on a doctor's opinion. It cannot be based on a pill. It cannot be based on a diet or an exercise plan, even though those are good things for your life. It has to be through him. Your blessings. Sometimes we're looking for blessings in people. We're looking for blessings in the world. We're looking for the blessing of the season. It's Christmas time. And we're looking for the blessings of these. We're looking for the blessings of this world or an experience or vacation. Well, listen, it cannot be through anything except through him. Everything in life has to be through him. My goodness, the only way to find what God is up to is through him, through Jesus Christ. He left us his spirit. Back to 1 Corinthians, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians, turn back. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. Starts talking about eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for us, but by his Spirit, he's revealed them to us. Look at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Here we are, that same quote out of the Old Testament, but look at what it says. But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things which the Lord has prepared for us, but we have his Spirit. In the natural, you cannot understand the will and the way of the Lord. You do not have the resources or the mental faculties. But the Bible tells us in this book, and I would encourage you, if you want to look more into this, read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 right there in the beginning and find out what it has to say, because God has given us of his Spirit. And who knows the inside of what's going on inside a man's heart except the soul or the spirit of a man, right? In the same way, who knows what's going on inside of God except the Spirit of God? Therefore, if God has given us his Spirit to live on the inside of us, and we have a relationship with the living God, then we never need be confused in life again. Why? Because it's of him, but guess what else? Life is lived through him. And therefore, the Spirit of God will reveal to each and every one of us in this room that are willing to seek, to stop, to listen for the voice of the Spirit and say, God, what's up with that? Jesus, tell me about what's happening on the earth right now. Show me what's happening with the world situation. I'm confused about what's going on. God, why the injustice? And the Spirit of God will speak words of counsel. He'll speak words of wisdom. He'll speak words of knowledge. He will deliver to you what the heart and the mind of God is in each and every situation. You may not get the answer you wanted. Oh, come on. Yeah, you might not be able to explain everything, but sometimes you will get the peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes you'll get the heart of God in the situation. Sometimes you'll feel the character of God coming through you. You'll start to weep and mourn over the things, and you'll see things like God sees them. Your heart will break over the things that his heart breaks for. You'll start to know things by the Spirit that this is of the Lord. It started in him, and guess what? It's going through him right now. God is speaking to my life. Just to drive this home, look at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You know that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness? All things, not some things. All things. When you don't know how, he knows how, and he's given it to you. All things. When you can't, he can. He's given you every resource you need. All things. There is no lack, no desire, no want if you will press into the Spirit of God. Get a hold of his understanding, his wisdom. He'll speak it to you. See, we can't instruct God, but he can instruct us. He can teach us a thing or two about a thing or two. God doesn't want us in the dark. He wants us to know what we have available to us through him. God does not want you to be a weak, broke down, busted, and disgusted Christian, just kind of living your life, bumping from whatever way the lazy river of life flows. You que sera, sera. Whatever happens, happens. I guess that's just how it is. Whatever it is, will be, right? It is what it is. No, it is not what it is. You can change what it is with the Spirit and the grace of God and the wisdom of God as you live life through him. Through him. No other way except through him. Last one is this, to him. These words, if you get a hold of these words, of him, through him, to him, it'll change your life, because not only is God the source, not only is God the supply, but when you start living life to him, see, it all begins and it ends with Jesus. Now all of a sudden it brings life into the place of significance. We're all looking to leave a mark here on the earth. I don't care who you are. When we die, we want somebody to miss us. When we go, we want someone to say, their life changed my life. It meant something. And even beyond that, if we get a right perspective of living life for God, living unto the Father, then when our life ends here on the earth, even though none of the great people of the earth may notice that we were ever here, and in 100 years they won't even remember our names, as long as we go before the Father, and as long as we get into the presence of Almighty God, and we get entrance to the throne, and as we stand before that throne, that if God would say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That is what counts for all eternity, because it's not about what things I have here on the earth. It's about what's significant to the Father that really matters. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 7, you can look it up on your own time, talks about how the waters start in the springs, they start in the highlands, start as rains, and they come down as rivers, and they go to the ocean, they return to the place where they began. Science has proven this to be true, right? Through the process of evaporation and rains and all that kind of stuff, the waters continually renew on the earth. In the same way, our lives, everything that began with God will end with God. Of him, through him, and to him. Guys, this is all going back to the heart of the Father. Jesus is not only the Alpha, but he's also the Omega. He's not only the beginning, but he's also the last. He's not only the author, but he's also the finisher of our faith. He is the one that we are headed towards. He is our aim. He is our victory. He is our goal. He is the one that will receive us into eternal dwellings. He is everything. He's the one that our life is all about, and it is Jesus that we are headed towards. And therefore, when you live your life towards Jesus, you live a life of significance. Come on, somebody. It all goes back to him. You're not always going to be able to see what God's up to. Spirit of God sometimes will not tell you things because he's growing you up or because he's leading you. Not going to understand all the works of God from beginning to end until we've gone through the process. There may be some things that we have to wait till we go to heaven to find out about. God, why? I'll tell you why when you come to heaven. Right? We've all had those experiences. God, it's too soon. God, it's too late. God, I don't understand. God, why? When you come see me, you'll know. Right? We've all had those things. But there's other things that God just says, not now. Just keep going. Because when it starts with God, and then you go through it, then looking back on it, you'll say, you know what? The road that I walked, God was with me every step of the way, even though I thought he wasn't there. When you've been through the fire and didn't get touched by the flame, you'll be able to say, God, I know that you were holding me, you were sustaining me, and I was only able to make it through you. When the waters have risen against you and the devil's thrown all hell has broken loose against you, they busted the dam and it's all coming at you and you're still standing when everything's done by the shouting, listen, you will be able to say, God, I know you were there. God, I can see what you were up to. In John chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and Peter has a real problem with Jesus washing his feet, like many of us would too. Jesus, you don't want to get around those nasty things. Haven't had my mani-pedi in a while, and no, right? And so Peter is fighting with Jesus. Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't do this, you're not clean. Well, then give me a whole bath, Jesus. Jesus said, no, Peter, you're going overboard, man. You don't need the whole thing, just the feet right now, okay? And listen to what Jesus says, and I think this is applicable for all of us. Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. See, there are things that we will go through in life that as you press into the Spirit of God, you know it's of him, and you know you're going to go through it through him, but it isn't until you get to him that you'll really understand what God is up to. He says, you may not understand right now. You got the pink slip, and you may not understand why you lost your job right now, but when you get to the next job, you'll know why I did this. You may not understand why Jesus told you to move and pack up everything and get to the next destination, but when you get there, when you make it to the place that I've called you, then you'll understand. That you may not know really what's happening in your life right now, why God is working. Why would God bring this issue up now? What is God doing? And yet, when you get through the issue on the other side, then Jesus says, when you get there, you'll understand. It's amazing what perspective does. When we look back down the road, that's why the common phrase is what? Hindsight is 20/20. Because now I get it. Now I see. Look at what this has produced in my life. Some things we have to endure so that we'll understand what God is doing behind the scenes. James chapter 5, verse number 7 and verse number 8 says this. Right after Hebrews, you'll find the book of James. James chapter number 5, verse number 7. And verse number 8. James says this. Therefore, be patient. Don't you just hate that? I mean, like, can we just rip that out of the Bible? No one wants to be patient, especially not in our world of instant everything, right? Man, my 6-year-old made oatmeal for himself this morning. Like, what on earth? The kid can make oatmeal. It's instant. You rip open a package, you pour water in, you put it in the microwave, you push a button, it's done. Glory to God. We want everything now. I want it right. I want it right now. I don't want to wait. But God says, be patient. Oh, Lord, why? Because he's taking you through something. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. There's a season and a time. There's the early rain. We all love that, right? Ooh, yeah, rain. It's good. Early rains. Woo, right? Gonna have a great crop this year. And then there's silence. And we start to wonder, are we going to get the latter rains? Are we going to get what we need? I'm running out of resource, God. Are you going to provide? God, I've come to the end of my knowledge base. Lord, are you going to drop some wisdom on me? I don't really have the strength to take me through to the finish line, God. Are you going to show up with what I need? I need some strength. I need some energy. I need some vitality. And yet, it says, look to the farmer. See, in our society, we go to the grocery store. And you got fruits and vegetables from the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, so you never have to wonder whether or not there's going to be grapes there because they're not in season. Because they're always in season somewhere on the earth, right? And yet we don't understand patience like a farmer understands patience. We don't understand waiting until the fruit is ripe to pick it because we can just go and get ripe fruit anytime we want to. We've conditioned ourselves in a way that the Word of God now seems weird to us. And yet he says, you're not only a soldier in the army of the Lord and going and taking ground and being aggressive and fighting the good fight of faith. You're not only an athlete running your race, but guess what else you are? You are a farmer. You're going to have to sow seed, and there is seed, time, and harvest. The seed does not immediately produce. You've got to wait patiently for the early rains. And the latter rains. And then when the harvest is ripe, that's when you put in the sickle. Verse 8. You also be patient. Two times in two verses. Do you think God is saying something to us when he starts repeating himself? In other words, you didn't get the first time because you didn't like it. But now that I got your attention, now that I've been talking to you about farmers and you're dreaming about the little red barn and the old McDonald's song, now I got you. You also be patient. Look at what he says. Establish your hearts. Set them in stone. Set them to trust the Lord that he is good, that he is the beginning. He's the one that started. You're going to make it. How am I going to make it? You're going to make it through him. And guess what? It all goes back to him. Establish your hearts. Look at what it says. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming back. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one that it all goes back to. What do I do when I don't understand? Here's what you do. You let God's glory be the conclusion. The God conclusion that the Apostle Paul, of him, through him, and to him are all things concluded with, to God be all glory and praise. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens here on the earth. It doesn't matter if I don't understand the whole process, if I don't get the whole seed, if I don't have all the answers, if all the pieces of the puzzle aren't fitting together right now. All I can conclude is that God is good and that God is to be praised no matter what happens to me here on the earth, no matter what happens around me. No matter what's going on, from him, through him, to him, are all things, and to God be the glory. Turn your complaints. Oh, come on, somebody. Because we've been complaining. And that's why people don't want to be Christians. Because they heard us complaining, right? Complain about everything. Oh my goodness, people stopped following you on Facebook during the elections. Why? Because we were complaining rather than praising, rather than trust. Turn your complaints into cries of praise and turn your arguments into adoration. Start to lift up a cry and a shout to the Lord in a voice of triumph, not triumph. Triumph, somebody. Come on. You got to start praising Jesus when you don't understand. Oh, let me show you a verse because some of you guys don't got it yet. Psalm 145. Verse number 10, all your works shall praise you. Everything you created will praise you. Everything you started will praise you. Everything you're sustaining right now by the power of your word will praise you. The rocks are going to cry out. The trees are going to cry out. The skies are screaming his praise. The oceans will roar. The thunders will proclaim. But listen, the church of God, God formed you in your mother's wombs, and you're going to praise him. You're going to lift up a cry. You're going to lift up a shout. Look at what it says. And all your saints shall bless you. Somebody better bless his name. Hallelujah! Come on! So when you open up that email tomorrow and your world crumbles, when you flip on the news and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, somebody in the cosmos flushed the toilet and everything's going down in a big circle, right? When the proverbial stuff hits the proverbial fan. Hello. What do you do? You start to praise him. You start to lift up a cry, lift up a shout. You put a smile on your face. You get a little Holy Ghost jig going on, right? You start to dance. You start to sing. You start to shout. Why? Because of him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory and praise. Come on, somebody. Let's give a great big cry and a great big shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.